This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a nurse practitioner for humans turned nutritionist for canines. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with her at the end of these messages from our sponsors. Hi, I'm Isabel Alvarez Arada, the host of Covered in Pet Hair. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you could give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With Spay and Neuter. Spaying and neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of Spay and Neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a nurse practitioner, a canine nutritionist. She's a holistic health coach for both people and pets. She's wife to Will, dog mom to Piper, Copper, and Bear, cat mom to Goose, Oliver, and Flower. She is the creator of Raw Paw Adventure. She's Kara Rose. Welcome, Kara. It's so good to have you on the show.
Wow, that was two of my cats.
Oh my gosh, that's like the best. That's the best ever, like, Halloween sound. I did not have to create. This is amazing.
Feel free to have it. It's all yours.
Oh my God, I'm definitely taking a bit of that, and I'm going to keep it forever. I need to introduce our drinking game. We're going to dig in to everything that you are about, all the things that you do, including helping humans and pets. But before I do that, I want to introduce our drinking game today. So anybody at home participating in our drinking game, anytime you hear this word.
The secret reward is bones.
Kara cannot overuse the word, not use the word. She's just going to have to use it in normal conversation. If it comes up, she says it. What do? You drink. You drink from your drink. So before I go any further, I want to show you my boozy cocktail here. I am having something absolutely phenomenal that has dry ice in it. It's spooky. It's matcha. It has no name. So if you guys have any ideas, let's name it together. It is matcha vodka cream soda and dry ice for the garnish. So what are you joining us with today, Kara?
You know, I know that this is going to sound super lame, but I just have a good old-fashioned glass of kombucha.
Kombucha is perfect. Kombucha is perfectly fine. Always welcome here. Cheers. Thank you for being my guest. It's so good to have you on the show.
I love it. I love it. And I think that I have a great name for your matcha drink. I like Matcha Monster Mash.
Oh, Matcha Monster Mash. This is, by the way, it's delicious. Shout out to my husband who makes my drinks whenever he's home. This is absolutely delicious. We found the recipe online, kind of made it our own, and it is absolutely fantastic. So I'm going to take another sip of my Matcha Monster Mash. Love that. You see, this is why I just leave it up to my guests to figure things out. So as always, I want to introduce our show with a game. And today we're obviously celebrating Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. And I'm obviously dressed as a bat, which was almost a disaster because I couldn't find my ears. But we have to play this so that we can get to know you, Kara, and your Halloween preferences. So this is called Halloween Faves. Are you ready to play?
I am so ready.
All right, here we go. Favorite Halloween song?
It's got to be Thriller. And I like the dance, too.
Yes, it's a classic. I have mixed feelings about MJ after that whole documentary, and it really does, like, you know, kind of put a damper on that whole thing. But there's nothing quite like my childhood growing up in the 80s, dancing to Thriller, learning the choreo. Like, it just is a classic. It is a classic. Not to bring it down. Favorite Halloween movie?
The one everyone will know is Hocus Pocus, but I love Kiki's Delivery Service, which is the Studio Ghibli movie.
Kiki's Delivery Service?
It's animated.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. Cool. I got to look it up. Will my kids like it?
Yes.
All right. That's good to know. Favorite Halloween costume you've ever worn?
I did a sexy Belle from Beauty and the Beast a few years back, and I borrowed it from someone else, so I don't have it for myself anymore, but that was probably my favorite because she's one of my favorite Disney princesses.
I do love Belle. She's a classic. And what made her sexy, though?
Well, you know, it was maybe a little low cut, maybe a little bit shorter than her traditional, you know, blue apron-y looking dress.
Apron. Her blue apron was not, is not sexy. Who knew? I guess it depends on who you ask, right? all right. Favorite Halloween tradition, whether it's yours or something you know about, something that tickles your fancy.
I'm not one for trick-or-treating, not anymore. I really love just curling up on the couch, snuggling up under a blanket with my husband and my dogs and watching old Halloween classics, which are mostly the good old-fashioned high school classic, Hocus Pocus, Halloween Town. That's probably my favorite thing to do on Halloween.
Amazing. Okay. I do love the snuggling on the couch Halloween, but I have two young kids, so that's not going to happen for me for a while. Favorite Halloween candy?
So I am actually doing sugar, cutting out all sugar right now that's not like added, but there was a house in my neighborhood that used to give out fruit roll-ups. It takes the cake.
Fruit roll-ups are good. I like fruit roll-ups. I like that. Okay. Are you for or against candy corn?
Ugh, against.
Okay. I kind of like them. I mean, they're kind of like one of those things that you eat brainlessly, like just kind of like it's you're craving sugar, it fits the bill, but that's about it. I'm more of a sour candy person. That's just
yeah.
Me. All right. Your favorite Halloween meal. Is there something that if you could always have the same thing on Halloween, what would it be?
You know, I don't think it would be a meal. I think it would actually be more of a snack. I really love cute Halloween themed like cookies or like pretzel snacks and stuff. So I think it would be more like a platter of Halloween themed treats as opposed to a meal.
Okay, perfect. All right. And then witches, pumpkin, spiders. Oh my, which is your favorite Halloween icon of all the things that we see at like Party City and such?
Anything cat. I love black cat. I specifically went to the ASPCA one time to get myself a black cat because I felt so connected to them. So any cat costume, holiday decoration, except my cat moving my computer.
Perfect. 100%
cat.
Is that your cat walking on your computer that I hear?
Yes.
Perfect. I love it. Don't stop it. Don't stop the cat from doing that. That's hilarious. And you are dressed today in costume. Tell us about your costume.
So this is, I'll show you a little bit more, but this is my
Renaissance pirate. What is this?
So this was actually handmade. I love Renaissance fairs. And when I lived in New York, I used to go every year. We had this huge fair in Sterling. And I bought this there probably 7 years ago now. It cost a lot of money. It's a herringbone corset, homespun cotton shirt. It's all completely handmade because to sell anything at the festival, you have to make it yourself. And I spent a lot of money on this dang thing. So I wear it every time I go to a Renaissance fair, and I've been wearing it on Halloween many, many years. So
I love it. I love that idea that it has to be handmade to be sold there. I'm all about in your hair. Oh my gosh. You are wearing that Renaissance fair find very well, if I do say so myself. So thank you for letting us in on your spooky preferences, but I want to get to know you now. So tell me, how does a nurse practitioner become a canine nutritionist? I feel like I don't know anything about your job, but I feel like you probably have enough on your plate as a nurse practitioner to like be like, oh, I'm just going to start learning about canine nutrition and supporting pet parents in this, like in changes and in choices. That's a big responsibility. So tell me about that.
Yeah. You know, at work, I work in critical care. So I work in the ER and the ICU and I see the sickest. And you're right. It's a lot. I ended up on the path of canine nutrition because my own dog was suffering from chronic pancreatitis. And for years, conventional veterinary medicine could not help us. We ended up on a prescription kibble. He was underweight, still had pancreatitis flares, and it was just heartbreaking to watch. So I started looking into fresh food options. At first, I thought it was nuts. Then I thought, okay, maybe there's something to this. And then I finally pulled the trigger, and near instantaneously, I saw improvement. And I can tell you now, it's been years, and he has not had pancreatitis flare again. Wow. 15 months. He looks amazing. He's still kind of brainless. I probably should have dressed him up as a scarecrow for Halloween. But he does have a little bit better listening skills and recall now that I'm actually feeding his brain the nutrition that it needs.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So it always stems from your own, right? And so I only had the time to do this because my husband and I moved to California. And it took a very long time, several months, for my new hospital to credential me. So I was on work for people. So I had all this time. And I practically worked a full-time job, taking courses, reading books, watching videos, following all these people, and then eventually getting certified.
Wow. Okay. So you have both cats and dogs. Are you thinking about getting a certification in feline nutrition as well?
I really want to, but I actually don't know of any kind of more professional certifying body, right? So I know that Dr. Billinghurst put out his new course recently, and he does talk about feline nutrition in there. So if I were to reach for anything, it would probably be that first. But I can call myself a certified canine nutritionist because I did the FeedReal certification, but I don't think there's a formal certification for kitties yet. As soon as I find one, I will snag it.
Oh, that's really good to know. Okay. So if there's one thing that pet parents should know, that really draws a huge line between canine nutrition and feline nutrition, what do you think that would be? Like, what do people have no idea about that probably they should know when it comes to cat versus dog?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is moisture. So while it's not ideal for any dog or cat to have a dry food diet, if you can help it, it is so infinitely much more important for cats because they're at such high risk for kidney disease. You know, cats are obligate carnivores, right? So they have to have meat in their diet. While a dog could survive on a plant-based diet if they truly, truly had to, or they can tolerate more plants in the diet, cats are truly obligate carnivores. They have to have the meat. They have to have the protein. There are specific amino acids that they cannot synthesize without meat. So that is probably my number one and two takeaway.
Perfect. Moisture and protein.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, we need to take a break right here. But when we come back, I will dig in to all of the things, the spooky, scary, gross realities of raw feeding. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Gifts for my pets. Sparkle and love. Under the tree.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pet. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and I am today having a live podcast with my friend, Kara Rose, who is the founder of Raw Pod Ventures, and she is going to help us navigate the grossness, the realities of raw feeding, because, you know, it's Halloween. So when else should we talk about guts and bones and things like that? It's the perfect day. So, Kara, if you are game, I would like to play a second game with you, and it is called Spooky Truths, Raw Feeding Edition. And I'm going to give you 2 minutes on my handy dandy clock here, and you're just going to break it down. Break it down. The gore, the grossness, the things you like, the things you don't like, the things that really gross you out, whatever you have 2 minutes to share with us. Are you ready to go?
I am so ready.
I'm going to count you down. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. Definitely bones, guts, gore, organs. It is all out there. So my dogs eat primarily raw food. I feed them outside because they are quite disgusting. We get splashes of juices everywhere. You know, there's pieces of meat flying through the air. And I'm not being cleaning my entire kitchen every single day. So they go out into the yard in a big old patch of sunshine, which will naturally help with any bacteria that's sitting around after they eat. I recently added brain into their diet. This is the first time I have ever added brain as my second secreting organ. And let me tell you, I have seen some gross, gross things working in the hospital. I've seen oozy wounds. I've smelled smelly smells. Touching brains to put into my dog's food, I think it finally got me. I finally found what was going to get me. It's brain. So that might be the first and last time I put brain in their diet.
Okay, so you have about 50 seconds left. Tell me more.
I actually love having raw meaty bones in the diet for them. And sometimes instead of a full raw meal, I will give them a meaty bone as a meal replacement. There's just something about listening to them crunch on that bone and watching them like crunch it into the little pieces that they need to be able to swallow it safely that is truly satisfying. I think that's called ASMR when you listen to someone like make a noise and it just satisfies you. Crunching out raw meaty bones is definitely it for me. And then, of course, there's the poop
after. 20 seconds.
All right. Feeding raw food gives you the absolute best poops that you can look for. Instead of having big mushy piles, you get small little nuggets, and it's much easier to clean up and less stinky too.
Oh my gosh, you are a pro at this. Bravo! Good job. Okay, so you had me at secreting organs. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Guys, this is not planned. Like, we do not rehearse this before. My guests have no idea what I'm going to ask. And secreting organs was not something that was on any kind of script. And what is another secreting organ that you have fed, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, kidney is the one I feed the most because it's the most accessible to me. Kidney is great. It's high in selenium, asking B vitamins. So kidney is a staple in our diet for sure. And then spleen was also new this month. Spleen, very high in iron, great for puppies and pregnant moms.
Okay, next question. Where do you get all this stuff? Like, I wouldn't even know where to source spleen. I mean, I live in El Paso. You know, Latinos, we eat every part of the animal. So I'm sure there's like a Mexican market here that would have this stuff. But where and how do I just go in and ask, like, can I have some spleen?
You could. So Mexican markets, Asian markets, ethnic markets is where you'll tend to find the organs. Spleen might be a little bit harder to find, but I can almost guarantee you that you'll find kidney at almost every single one. There's a Mexican market actually up the street from me, and they have heart, liver, they have bones. You know, they have other offal there. And
oh, wait, bones. She said bones, guys. She said bones. Got a drink. So if you joined late, the drinking game word is...
The secret word is bones.
So I go in... and I ask for spleen or brain or whatever. This is raw at like the meat counter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how long do I have? Or frozen. Okay, frozen. Do they sell them frozen? Okay. And then how long between like thawing or buying do I have before I have to feed this to my pet?
So I will not let something sit thawed in my refrigerator for more than 4 days. So I... buy big bowl packages because I have three big dogs to prep for. So it does need to partially thaw one time for me. So it's thawed pretty much all the way through. It takes me a few hours to do my monthly meal prep, and then it all goes back into the freezer. And then I pull one meal out each day as I feed a meal from the fridge, and it thaws over 3 to 4 days so that by the time we get to day four and I pull it out, it's thawed and I see it.
Okay, perfect. And then what tips do you have for any people who are not raw feeding right now, but are interested in potentially dipping their toe into this whole raw pod venture?
Yeah, you know, I started out with cooked, actually. I did it for a few weeks. It was not sustainable for me. But if you're feeling a little bit hesitant about raw food, you could always do cooked. And I actually have a calculator on my website. It is the first ever calculator that has been created that has options for both raw and cooked. So you could go on there, plug in your pet's information, and it will tell you your dog. Right now, it's only for dog. And it will tell you how much of each ingredient to feed them, whether you choose raw or cooked. And, you know, there's a lot of really great veterinarians and holistic health practitioners and other holistic pet professionals that exist in this space. And I would say, find someone you connect with and follow them. Engage with them. Ask them questions. We want to help you. It's literally why we do it. So come find us.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So it's 2024. Things are expensive. Any tips for sourcing things without breaking the bank?
Yeah. You know, big box stores. So I get ingredients at Costco. You can go to BJ's, Sam's Club, Restaurant Depot. I can go to Restaurant Depot because I have a business. You have to be a business owner to go to Restaurant Depot. Co-ops are also a huge help. I get almost all my ingredients from my local co-op, and it brings the price down from like $5, $6, $7 a pound at the grocery store to maybe $2 or $3 a pound at the co-op. It is the only way I can afford to feed three big dogs raw food. So definitely take a look and see if there's a local co-op near you. I did compile resources by state, which is also on my website. Under the resources tab, you can click on your state and you'll see the list of co-ops near you.
Perfect. And what mistakes do you want people to avoid? If you had to just narrow it down to a few mistakes that are pretty common in this transition to raw feeding.
Oh, yeah. You know, the first mistake I would say is people panic when they don't see, either they don't see results within a few days or they see some GI upset in a few days. I want you to think of it like you as a person who ate Doritos and McDonald's every day for 10 years. And then one day decided to sit down and have a salad. Do you think your gut would be happy?
No.
No.
Not
and neither is your dog. So yes. Give them time. Yes. Be prepared for it, right? When we might see some diarrhea. We might feel a little GI upset. Have some slippery elm on them. It's a great natural method to deal with diarrhea. So that would be, I think, number one. Number two would be don't get stuck or lazy. I see people say, oh, well, I found this one thing and it works really great for me, so I'm just going to make it all the time. Nope. Your dog and cat need variety. It's how they get different nutrients. You can't eat only turkey every single day and expect to get every nutrient you need, right? Poultry is a little bit low in iron, whereas you're going to find iron in red meat. So you want to make sure that you are keeping it, you know, spice it up, have some variety, have different meat, have different veggies. So always, always include variety. And then my third and final one would be, and this is a little bit more specific, never feed cold food. Your dog's gut is not meant to digest ice cold food. And even food from the fridge is not particularly ideal. If you think about a wild dog or a wolf, they are eating their meal fresh from the hunt. Maybe a few days later, if it's sitting out, it's room temperature, but that's still pretty warm unless we're talking about the middle of winter. So you want to try and heat the food up before you feed it. I take mine out of the fridge. I fill the sink with warm water. I pop the containers in the warm water and I let them sit there for about 20 minutes before I feed them. You can also add warm water and pour it in there, warm bone broth and pour it in there, or heat it up gently on the stove with some water. I don't like to microwave, but in a pinch, if you really had to, you could.
Yeah, don't go source amazing meats and things and then microwave them, please. I beg you. But like maybe just a little bit of water to add, maybe that would be okay. But yeah, we don't want to nuke all the yummy, gooey, secreting organs that we're sharing with our dogs.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Although all I will say a frozen snack is okay. Little frozen snack out of the freezer, maybe a frozen fish, maybe a frozen, you know, Del Mole. That's fine, but not the main meal.
Okay. Two last questions, and then we can open it up to questions if there are any, but I don't see anybody because the Pet Parenting Reset, Jessica, is still waiting for us on Instagram. I'm so sorry if this didn't make it on Instagram, guys, but StreamYard, you're telling me that we're live on Instagram. Look, it says you are live. I am live. Anyway.
Set up the treat.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Today, that's the trick of the day. Speaking of treats, actually, what do you feed your dogs and cats as treats?
You know, I'm a mean mom. I don't give a lot of treats. On special occasions, they do get some. I will make single ingredient treats. So I have a dehydrator. So sometimes I'll slice duck hearts in half and I'll dehydrate those, or I'll thinly slice an apple with the skin. I'll dehydrate that. Those make really great treats. I like to give them chews, though, as treats, something that they have to work for a little bit harder. And I have been getting the same amazing chews from the same company for years. And my dogs absolutely love them. And I will definitely continue having them in the diet. And sometimes I actually use them as a meal replacement. So things like cow ears, or, you know, a beef trachea, or even a pig foot, a whole air-dried pig foot they sell. So that's my go-to, is like a chew or an air-dried type bone, or single ingredient treats that I can easily make in my kitchen.
Awesome. 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 That is great. I do give single ingredient treats to my dogs and cats, And I always use Bear's Bites. I know the owner. We're friends. Yeah. Shout out to Sam. Yes, exactly. I met her at Super Zoo like 3 years ago, and she's a genuine personal friend of mine. She sources everything very responsibly. I trust her implicitly. So Bear's Bites. And I will tell you this. I have a cat that comes when called. His recall is better than any dog I've ever had. And it's because of those treats. And it's usually chicken hearts.
Yeah.
Beef livers, right? But like, it's fine. I'll wash my hands after. And by the way, Jessica just told me that we have a StreamYard banner at the bottom of the screen. I can't remove it. I've deleted it 8 times. StreamYard, what are you doing to me today? But I'm here and we're doing this. It's fine. I don't really want to troubleshoot that until we start recording. But anyway, last question right now for anybody who's listening, any pet parent who's going to tune in when we share this podcast, what is the one thing they can do as quickly as today, this weekend, that would improve their pet's health long term?
I would say start replacing maybe 20% of the bowl with fresh food. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It can quite literally be your dinner leftovers. You know, you don't usually eat the bottom of the broccoli, right? You eat the florets. Chop that up, maybe steam it or puree it, add it to the bowl. It's full of nutrients. If you're making, you know, a steak or a chicken, or, and you know, you're trimming maybe the ends off, or maybe there's some long fat that you're not going to want to cook, save it. Put it in your pet bowl. Adding moisture, bone broth, super easy. You can, now I don't love pouring water over kibble, just because kibble tends to have some bacterial contamination sometimes. And so if you make it a moist environment, it's maybe not the most ideal, and it can encourage bacterial growth. Yeah. But, right. You know, adding moisture to the diet is very important. So even if you like had it on the side as an extra option, if you're trying to entice your pet to maybe drink some more water, maybe they don't love water, adding bone broth or adding bone broth to the water can entice them a little bit, and it's full of really great ingredients like clovesamine, chondroitin, collagen, great for the joints and skin and hair.
Do you give your human patients any nutritional advice? I have to know, just because we're like getting inside your head here.
You know, I don't really work in a setting where I can do that. I actually don't really get to talk to most of my patients, because a lot of them are either intubated, mechanically ventilated, or very confused because they're so sick. But
oh no.
I know. But I'm in school right now. I'm actually getting my functional medicine certification. And my ultimate goal is going to be to leave the hospital setting and open up my own practice where I can do holistic health for people and holistic health for pets. So, and that will all revolve on nutritional advice, because health starts in the gut for everyone.
Okay, that's perfect. I love that, because that actually, we're all trying to be healthier. I feel like right now, especially during the holidays, like everything goes down the drain. I mean, I have matcha in my vodka drink, so I feel like that's really healthy. Matcha, you know, lots of antioxidants to kind of balance out the bad that the alcohol is doing to me, even though vodka is good, right? Vodka is good. We use it in tinctures, so there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to drink just a little bit of it. This is not organic, though, so I really should get there. So the Pet Parenting Reset says Kim gets way too many treats. I know Jessica is giving really high quality treats. If you had to put, Kara, like 3 treats on the do not buy list, popular treats that are out there, and you don't have to use them by name, but you can describe them so we know what you're talking about. what would they be?
Well, let's see. You've got those little bone-shaped treats that everybody likes to buy.
Bones.
So we think we all know what those are, made with really crappy filler ingredients and flour and sprayed with chicken fat, which goes rancid. That's a big no for me. Also, there's this green dental stick that people like to get. The only thing that's good for is throwing it in your trash. It is actually probably one of the worst possible things that you can give as a treat because it does the opposite of promote dental health. It actually promotes dental plaque. That would be a big no for me. Yeah. And then, you know, they have those really cute like cookies and stuff that are right up at the desk when you go to these conventional type pet stores. No. You know, it has just packed with sugar. They always have frosting on top. You know, it's used with weed and fillers and just no. Just no.
Just don't do it. Yeah. So I feel like I think it's safe to say that I don't really give my pets anything that's available at Target right now. I feel like Target, this is me challenging you to do a better job of sourcing higher quality treats. They're cute. They have good stuff. Like their Target is, I love Target, but their pet food, their pet aisle needs a whole makeover.
Yeah.
Total makeover. Like, I feel like Target has our heart. We all go in there for personal stuff. My kids love it. Like, if you say we're going to Target, but like the pet aisle is just like living in 1985, where the rest of it, they have like, you know, collaborations with like Diane von Furstenberg in the women's department and the girls department, but they have like those things you just described in the pet aisle. So we got to work on that. But I usually, most of the things that my pets eat are mostly sourced online. Is that your experience too? Or like locally, like from a non-pet food manufacturer or like store?
Yeah. So the treats and chews that I get that are subscription are Real Dog Box, and they're online. And then there is a lovely independent pet store near me called Ben's Marketplace. And Nan, the owner, I love her. She's amazing. She has all kinds of options. You can get freeze-dried treats, air-dried treats. She has amazing brands there that have excellent sourcing, ethical raising practices. Right now I actually have a couple of treats that I have in here for the kitties because I wanted to entice them to stay with me, although they abandoned me after their little
Not before giving us an angry cat sound that I'm going to use forever.
I know. But, you know, so I'll get like things like that for the cats if I'm not going to give them a dehydrated Howard or something like that. So you can find them. They exist. And your local independent pet store is going to truly, truly appreciate your patronage because, you know, it's hard for them to stand up against these big stores that have chains and, in my opinion, really kind of sell out, right? They go for quantity over quality. And it cost you an extra dollar for that treat bag at your local independent pet store, but you are giving them such an important service and that trickle-down effect increases and improves your sale.
Absolutely. 100%. I live in El Paso. We don't have any independent pet food stores. What we have is like Tractor Supply and like Pet Barn and things like that. And like, they're trying. So like my husband came home with like a thing that said like Pet Barn is mixing supplements like for pets, which I thought was really interesting. And I was like, oh, bring me a brochure so I can see. But then like you start looking at it and you start asking questions like what it says omega-3, but like where from? Like what kind of omega-3? Like is it third party tested to make sure that it is omega-3s and not like some seed oil, right? So like I start getting a little, I guess, like cynical about what's in it because I'm that. At that volume, it's hard to do the really good stuff. Like, I get it. Like, they can't make ends meet if they're sourcing the best stuff. It's the same as a mom trying to, like, feed her kids the best, healthiest food. Like, I wish I could, but I, you know, we have a grocery budget. The same thing happens with these big businesses. So I will say that when I need something in a city like mine, and I've lived in other places where, like, the closest Target's an hour away. So you're definitely not going to have necessarily a, you know, handy store. Then just be really careful before you hit order, because I feel like there's a lot online that'll promise you a million things. And Kara, obviously, you probably see this all the time. And you're like, but what is this even? And why is it on my feed? So are there stuff like that that you see and you just cringe?
So often. So, you know, unfortunately, these companies, these businesses, they know what buzzwords to use, right? Like holistic and elevate the health and, you know, fresh and things like that, right? So like the marketing tactics are just genius. They have these pictures of your dog and your cat on the front of this brightly colored bag, and they're sitting in front of this bowl of fresh food that looks gourmet. And then you flip it over and you look at the bag and it says chicken meal. And, you know, and then ingredient splitting, right? Like corn gluten, you know, corn, what it's, and it's like, oh God, what are you selling to me? But it's tough. We need to check your ingredients. You want to ask about sourcing, and there's nothing wrong with being strict. So, you know, just look at it like you are your pet's advocate and no one else, unless, you know, we are. We're also your pet's advocate.
Yes, we will advocate. And if ever you need a recommendation to a canine nutritionist, a pet nutritionist, I know so many of them. So always you can come over to one of these lives. You can slide into the DMs. You can ask whatever you want. I guarantee you, I have a resource for you. I have many friends in the industry. I've been doing this for almost 20 years now. So I know a few people, and like, there are so many great people like Kara, like the Pet Parenting Reset, Jessica. I know that Kim Gauthier is a great person to follow. I forget her handle right now, but she's Keep the tail wagging, but her handle on Insta is different.
It's raw, like feeder life.
Raw feeder life. And then Scott also with Raw Feeding 101 is wonderful. So like, these are just four people off the top of my head, but there are so many people that can help you. And one of the things that I think that people don't know is that you're not going to like berate them for feeding kibble or for having to put convenience first. What do you say when somebody says, I want to do better, but like, I don't have the time to cook and I don't have the money? And like, what ingredients do you tell them? Okay, do this, this, and this. And like, we're at least in a better way.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to meet people where they're at, right? You're going to catch more flies with honey than vinegar. And yes. I remember myself years before I actually was ready to switch to fresh food, my friend said, hey, you know, like copper is obviously not doing better on the methods that your conventional vet is proposing. Have you ever thought about feeding him, you know, human food, people food? And I dismissed her and I was like, he's a dog. Like, he doesn't eat people food, right? I was not ready. We call that the pre-contemplation stage. Once you're in the contemplation stage and you're getting ready and you want to make that change, I would say if you had to do, you know, budget will always be a problem. Things are expensive.
Yeah.
Try to follow maybe like the Dirty Dozen or the Clean 15. So you can go on the, what is it?
Ooh. EWG. Yep.
And
who's that cat that just made a cameo?
Yeah, this is Oliver. He's the one that pissed earlier. I call him my tiny tour because he's constantly attached to me and he's the one who just knocked over my camera. So.
I was like, where is she going with this tumor business?
My tiny tumor, he's always attached. But yeah, so Dirty Dozen, Clean 15, so you could just try to like get the Dirty Dozen always organic, right? If you had to reach for a cleaner option, organic for those dozen. You know, and then again, it doesn't have to be complicated, right? It can be your table scrap. Like I have my veggie mix every month is a month of me saving table scraps for vegetables in the freezer. The bottoms of mushrooms, if you don't like to cut the bottom, like the stems of your mushrooms, the bottom part of the broccoli instead of the florets, the tops of your carrots, the skins of your carrots when you peel them, the tops of your beets, beet greens, those are really healthy. You know, everything, literally anything except onions. You don't feed them onions or macadamia.
Yeah.
But, you know, anything on grapes. Everything else they can have, including garlic, but that's like a whole separate podcast.
That's a whole other thing. Feed garlic at your own risk because it's controversial and we can't take a stand either way, just in case. But there are many people who successfully feed garlic to their pets. that is on you to decide whether or not you want to do your research and dive in. But okay, so yes, outside of grapes, macadamia nuts, and onions, well, yeah, and chocolate, you know what? No candy in general, right? Like candy is just off limits because they don't need that sugar any more than we do, guys. So like, if it's not healthy for you to eat it, don't give it to your dog or your cat.
Even more potentially dangerous is if they have a xylitol in there, because that is more toxic to them. I actually just did a really great blog post this morning about that, all about like the pitfalls of having Halloween candy in your house. Definitely want to be careful with that.
So we think it's not as sugary, so now we're going to give it, and xylitol will kill your dog. Like, and you need a smaller amount than chocolate. So we're all aware of chocolate. And like most of the chocolate that we have has so little cocoa in it that like the chances of your pet, unless they're tiny, having a big reaction are small, unless you're having, you have like an Ecuadorian 90% cocoa kind of bar, then don't do that. But xylitol, tiny bit, no yeah. bueno. So yes, yeah. So check out your blog for more on xylitol if you haven't heard about it. The sneaky thing about xylitol is that it's in stuff that you think your dog won't want. But like, first of all, a lot of dogs will want anything. Second of all, it's in peanut butter now.
Yes.
So it might be something you literally pick up thinking it's just peanuts and oil, and it's not. It's in peanut butter now, and it's going to make its way into other things because it's a sugar alcohol that's like keeping us sugar free, but then making... Do you eat xylitol or do you have reservations for humans?
I don't. I won't do it. And it's also being like labeled differently now. So I think birch sugar,
is birch sugar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're hiding it. And so these artificial sweeteners are just not good for you. It might not cause the insulin spike that sugar does, but still overall, it's not a natural substance. It's not made by nature. It's not something that your body wants or needs. Trust me. If you want to reach for something that has sugar in it, go for a natural sugar source. Berries are a great natural, lower in glycemic index, full of antioxidants that you can eat for yourself and you can feed to your pets. So if you have a little bit of a sugar craving, go for something like that. Something natural. No xylitol. And also peanut butter. Almond butter.
Peanut butter is no longer like the great treat that it was sold to us as in 2005. So like for all of us, I feel like peanut butter, and you can do your own research on that, but it is not the healthiest thing. I gave my kid peanut butter yesterday and it was a jar of JIF. And I was like, cause we had it for the hurricane and like in Orlando. And I was like, I'm not going to throw this away. So I give it to them as a snack with Cringe Ritz crackers. They love it. They absolutely love it. But like, honestly, if it falls on the floor, I'm not letting my dogs eat that. Like my dogs eat better than my kids just because I can't control my kids that well. And hopefully my kids will grow out of this one stage in their life. Like my kids hopefully have 85 years to like balance out their diets. Dogs, cats don't, right? So we really want to keep them here as long as we can, giving them the best stuff. And they don't have the ability to open the door of the fridge and like make themselves like a peanut butter and bacon sandwich. So we really do control what they eat. And we should use that because like as a mom, I can't control what my kids eat as much as I would like to.
I'm sorry. Is this a Texas thing? Peanut butter and bacon?
No, it's just that I imagine. So this is something I've always used as an example. I imagine that if we had like a dog on death row who had to have like his final meal, I feel like he would choose a peanut butter and bacon sandwich. It's just a hunch. Yeah, it's just totally a hunch.
Although I do challenge you, anybody who's watching, go to your cabinet, pick up your peanut butter, flip it over, comment the first ingredient. Is it peanuts or is it sugar?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's why they're replacing it with xylitol so that it tastes sweet. But, you know, the Pet Parenting Reset says dentists love selling stuff with xylitol too. Yes, it's supposed to have benefits for us, for our teeth. But I'm kind of old school. I'm just like, brush your teeth twice a day, floss. I feel like you don't need to be chewing gum to like make yourself healthier. My dentist is a biological dentist and she does have stuff with xylitol in it at her practice, but it's like sparingly. It's not like, you know, chew on this gum every single day and you'll get less cavities, because that doesn't really make any sense.
No, and don't have that gum in your house or anywhere where your pets can get to it, because 3 pieces of xylitol chewing gum is toxic. So
yes,
lock it up or put it in the car, because
in my house, we're not allowed xylitol. My husband chews that gum that I, of which I speak, and it has to stay in the car. It's not allowed in the house. I did get something with xylitol recently. It was like maybe dental stuff. I can't remember. And it was like one of those things where I'm like, I have to be so careful with this. Like, I have to make sure, because I have a cat too. And they say that it's worse for dogs than cats, but they don't really know, because so many cats are more responsible with what they take in, right? So like, we don't necessarily know as much about cats in general on every topic.
Well, agreed. Replacement for xylitol, right? If we're talking about xylitol for teeth, and obviously pets can't have that. Raw meat bones are great for teeth.
Bones. All right. So that's the perfect segue. Let's take a drink. All right. How can my audience learn more about you, Kara? Where can we find out about all the things that you offer pet parents?
Well, I have a website. It is www.rawpawadventures.com, plural adventures. That is my handle across everything. So TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, rawpawadventures. I have definitely a couple of things that I feel are worthwhile if you're going to highlight on my website. The calculator is one, first ever calculator to have cooked and raw options for pet parents, which is super exciting. I also am, today's the 31st, so in like 12 more hours, I will be dropping a free mini webinar that I will send out that you can sign up for. It's 28 minutes long. You can learn all about the history of pit bull, why it got created, what goes into it, and what trends we started seeing in our pet health after pit bull became mainstream. And then I'm going to be doing a course. A back to the basics, transition your dog to fresh food course. It's a 4-week course. We meet once a week for an hour. We learn about the basics of nutrition for your dog and how to transition them and do DIY at home. And that starts the first week of December.
Amazing. All right. Well, awesome. So I want to propose a toast to you for being my guest and for being so awesome. Cheers.
Thank you.
Of course. I'm so excited you agreed to do this with no experience under my belt and leaving some kind of banner on for most of this show, but we made it work. We'll get it there. And then I want to propose a toast to my executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark. And to our audience for joining us for these conversations. I love to bring you silly, fun conversations about pets where you learn a little something, but you also get to know amazing people that I like to call my friends in the industry. So here's to a life covered in pet hair, because there's no better way to live. Cheers. To learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com. And don't forget to like, subscribe, do all the things on YouTube, and rate us on any podcasting platform that you tune into, because it will help get this episode to so many other pet lovers. Boozy pet lovers are my people. And I thank you so much for tuning in. And if right now you have a question for Kara, you have time to ask it. But I will say, for those on the podcast, thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.